2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. If you don't get part of our program, you can always go to kslsports.com, download the KSL Sports app, find us there. It's free. You don't miss a moment. There's a lot of good stuff that comes out of what we say every single night.
I just wanted to say something about – I saw this. Mitch Harper wrote up this article about Zach Wilson today, and it was because Chris Sims, everybody's – of all the Sims, Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback, of course, like a small cup of tea in the NFL, former quarterback. Chris Sims says he loves Zach Wilson's game. But here's the quote. "The BYU guys caught my eye. He's a phenomenal thrower of the football. I don't even know his name. I just know him as BYU guy. But the talent is real."
This is Chris Sims?
Yes, this is Chris Sims. So, and from everything I saw on TV, he looks like he's a first-round conversation, no doubt about it. BYU guy. I just know him as
really
BYU guy. We just know him as Jazz Insider guy. He is Ben Anderson.
Oh, that's his name. I didn't know Ben's name.
Until tonight, you didn't
Jazz
know his
Insider
name.
Okay.
I always love that. It's a high praise.
New things on the show every
Listen,
night, Alex.
I don't know this guy's name, but what a talent! I mean, just I think about him all the time. Don't know his name. Ben Anderson, thanks for joining us on the program. And hey, this is a big day for the Jazz tomorrow. The draft is going to kick off around 5 p.m. The Jazz are going to get the 23rd pick in the NBA draft, and this is like Christmas for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I love the draft. It's kind of the big night for NBA action. There's a lot of trades. There's a lot of movement. It's actually one of the few nights where Dennis Lindsay and the Jazz are kind of surprisingly aggressive. They regularly try and trade up and move up to get pieces in the draft, so it should be fun.
Do you see them doing that tomorrow?
I bet they kick the tires on some of those moves. I think it's always smart to see if there's better talent you can get and you're willing to give up some of your pieces or future pieces to get a player like that. So, yeah, I would be surprised if the Jazz didn't explore those options. We haven't heard much about it this year, but the Jazz are pretty quiet. It's been a weird offseason. It wouldn't be surprising at all if they make a move.
Is LaMelo Ball really the first pick in the draft? Really?
I think he is going to be the number one pick. It's either he or Anthony Edwards from Georgia. It's really down to those two players. It's not going to be James Wiseman. But he's tall. He's a really good playmaker. Questions about his shooting. But he kind of looks the part of what the modern NBA star looks like. And it's not a great draft at the top. There aren't can't-miss prospects. But if anyone can get to superstardom in this draft, it's probably LaMelo.
He's got that sweet shoe deal with Puma. Turned down the big baller brand for Puma, so I heard an interview.
That was
with
our choice.
I know. I heard this interview with his dad, and he's still a bizarre. It's like bizarro world listening to interviews with this guy. But you know, it should create for some fun times. You know, going into the draft on that. But as we look at where the draft is, we look where the Jazz are in this. There's kind of this addition by subtraction thing. And I'm not talking about the Jazz. I'm talking about, Ben, the subtraction of James Harden and the possibility of him heading to the East. This is a good thing for the Jazz if he can go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a reaction somewhat to LeBron James coming to the West Coast, and that talent wants to win, and it's hard to beat LeBron in the playoffs, so stars start opening up their willingness to move to the East Coast or play for an Eastern Conference team. And I don't doubt that that's part of what's going on right now and why you see a guy like James Harden targeting to go and play for a team in the Eastern Conference that will have a chance to make the playoffs and make a deep run into the postseason. So, yeah, it would be great for the Jazz. I think you thin out some of the talent in the West, and it gives you an opportunity to climb the standings, get up to 4 or 5 or 3, maybe even 2, depending on how things break in your favor, and try and make a run to the Western Conference Finals.
Gordon Hayward extended his player option. Is that
Is he extending it? Did he?
He extended it. No. He it was supposed to be done Tuesday today.
His decision to move
that out a couple of days. Does that surprise you? And is there ever a possibility that Gordon Hayward could come back to Utah?
It's funny to me because it seems like some rules in sports are so strict. Like if you miss a timeline by 8 minutes, they don't let you pull off a trade or you don't qualify for a camp or something. And then just because he and Boston were like, well, let's just move the date back. The league was like, yeah, just move the date back. Like, I don't get why that was kind of so easily maneuvered. But clearly they're trying to push it to after the draft to give themselves some more time to work on a sign and trade for tomorrow night. And that does seem to be the case. I know Chris Haynes, who, if you remember from Yahoo Sports, was the guy who early on 4th of July 2017 said he's heard from people close to Gordon Hayward that he's writing a letter in the Players Tribune saying goodbye to Jazz fans. And he was exactly right. That's what happened. So Chris Haynes has somebody in the Hayward camp that's trustworthy, and he mentioned the Atlanta Hawks being the most likely destination for a trade. So, and they've got a number 6 pick.
I was wondering what that would look like if you wrote another letter. What would the letter from Gordon Hayward to the Players Tribune say to the Boston fans right now?
Yeah, and, oh, you know, I've got music playing on my phone in the background. I apologize. That was my phone doing something weird. I think it could. Did you say Gordon Hayward moving to Atlanta?
I was saying. What would a letter that he would write to the people of Boston say right now if he wrote one to the Players Tribune? What on earth could he say to those people?
It would probably be reversed. It'd probably be Danny Ainge saying like, "Well, Gordon, you just didn't work out. Like, we gave you all this money, and it just didn't quite. You didn't pan out the way we wanted to. Of course, you had that horrendous ankle injury, but." Yeah, I mean, he went there to be the star. He went there to be their guy. And it just so happened they had Jaylen Brown and they drafted Jason Tatum. And both of those guys were better than Gordon really quickly. So it makes sense to move him. And if Boston can get an asset for him, it's the right move.
$34 million a year for a guy that scores 17 points a game. Ben Anderson, he's our Jazz insider. The draft, of course, tomorrow. When you see, I don't know, I think that I look at these at the draft and I always just have these high hopes that there will be some sort of drama. When you said that they were going to kick the tires, then what would be something that they would want to make a move for? And are they drafting and then thinking drafting about or trying to figure out making a decision on the future of Rudy Gobert, on the future of course Donovan Mitchell? How do they look at this draft now compared to like what they could be really doing? Like what do they think could be the thing that turns the corner for them?
Well, I think one of the issues the Jazz are going to have coming up as soon as next offseason, depending on what happens with Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson, how much you extend Rudy Gobert for and what Donovan Mitchell signs for this offseason, which will just be the max contract. The flexibility the team is going to have financially is going to be pretty severely limited next year. And to maintain some of that, you may want to loosen that up a little bit this season, which means getting rid of some of your guaranteed contracts that extend beyond next summer. And the two guys that probably have value and actually make a little bit of money are Joe Ingles and Royce O'Neal. Now, I haven't heard that the Jazz are shopping those guys necessarily, but you could probably move up in the draft if you wanted to package one of those two guys and the 23rd pick to, say, try and climb up to 15 or 14 or 13. And what you do essentially is draft their replacement. So you go out and get a guy who can play on the wing and can shoot or create offense a little bit. And then you save $10 million by not having that player on your contract anymore, which allows for more freedom next offseason, and you get his replacement. It kind of kills two birds with one stone, and it would be a weird move. It would feel like a step back initially, but it could be done with a slight eye on the future, plus maybe a better player than either of those two guys.
He's Ben Anderson. He's our Jazz insider. Tomorrow we're going to get a little bit more of a clue as to where the Jazz are at this time, and We'll have to get your thoughts on what those moves may or may not have been, or what that pick at 23 was. So, Ben, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now. I still got more to talk about with Kyle Whittingham and where he's at with his team right now. But we also have this to talk about. Should BYU and Cincinnati get over that hump because of the lack of games that the Pac-12 is playing? ESPN has an article about this. Dave McCann's going to walk into the studio. We'll chat a little bit more about that. He's, of course, calling the game on TV this weekend, BYU and North Alabama. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's unrivaled KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.